Today we get a chance to interview two people who years ago tackled a very tough topic that is still tough today. We're going to introduce you to Fred Moore and Ann Bowie, and we want to start with Fred, and I want you to tell us how you came to meet this gentleman from Vietnam.
We were members of St. Bridget's Church at the time, and the church had agreed to sponsor a family from Vietnam, and we thought it would be a great opportunity for our children and us to get involved and help these people get acquainted with the United States and the way we do things.
So immigration was personal to you at that time in the mid-80s.
Yes.
What kind of work do you do?
I'm a retired OBGYN. That time I was active in obstetrics and gynecology.
Family, obviously, was important. How many children did you have?
We have two.
And how old were they in the mid-80s?
About 12.
All right, so you decide to bring this family in from Vietnam. This is where you come in. And you meet these Americans. How much English did you speak when you came to Richmond, Virginia?
99.9%. Which is none.
Almost none.
Yes and no. It's pretty much the only two that I know. So
you knew yes and no. Well, yes, those are good starting points.
Yeah.
So you come to America. How many in your family came to live with Fred and his family?
We have three brothers. You got Liam, Chung, and me. And then Liam's wife. And then on the wife's side, they have some other sibling too.
And what kind of work did you do in Vietnam, or what were you doing in Vietnam? Were you even old enough to have a job in Vietnam?
No, I was pretty young, so yeah. In school, struggling, failing for second grade.
Yeah, but so you were a kid at the time.
Yeah, and then trying to help my mom out on a farm, so at the very young age, yeah.
What did you know about Americans in Vietnam?
Nothing.
Nothing?
Nothing, yeah. Just busy working on the farm with your mom, trying to earn a meal for that day, so you just don't have time to think. So
being a child and moving here, I've always been impressed by people who do that. So that must have been a terrifying experience, fleeing everything that you knew, and then moving in with people that you couldn't understand and didn't know the food. Do you have memories of what that was like for you as a child?
Here in the U.S. or back in Vietnam?
Both.
You know, it's being very young, so when we escaped Vietnam, it's kind of like an adventure for me. So fear wasn't in my mind. So even we have, 7 days, 7 nights escaping Vietnam out in a boat in the middle of nowhere. Lack of food and water. I mean, it scared a lot of people, but for me, it's just being a child, it's like an adventure. It's fun.
And that transferred over when you got to America?
Yeah, so, once we got off the boat and get to Malaysia, then it's totally, that's like, okay, where we are now, So we spent 6 months in Malaysia, and then the U.S. Accepted us, which is where Fred could come in. And then we went to a camp in the Philippines, where we spent another 6 months. And then we got here in the U.S. Yeah, so
actually that question actually goes back to you, Fred. With bringing in a family like that, must have been terrifying for your family. How did you cope with language barriers, with cultural differences, with this young family?
Most of the time, we just did the best we could. We took what they knew, the yes and no, and put everything in that context. We had some interesting food food issue. It wasn't an issue. Food experiences. And
so your wife didn't know what to feed little Vietnamese children?
Right. Exactly. Well, they really didn't live with us physically. So on Sundays, we would help the family out by taking the kids after church. Bring them to our house, and they played with our kids. And then at lunchtime, Karen, my wife, would always say, well, what would you like, a peanut butter and jelly sandwich or a hot dog? Or, well, they didn't know what a hot dog was. So Ann would say,
they took it literally.
Oh, I want the, he called them boiling dogs. I want a boiling dog.
So here there's a child never experienced a hot dog or mustard and lay potato chips. Yeah. So Karen give you a plate, and then You know, the only one I know is yes and no. Is to give him a plate. Yes, you know.
How was it?
Yes. And God, must I? Because I have never had must before. It's just an awful thing. And you know, and hot dogs. You know, getting used to eating meat with bone on. This is all meat.
Well, they say it's meat. I don't know if that's actually. We'll stop that conversation there.
Yeah.
So you know, a couple of not even a decade later. You open up one of the most iconic Vietnamese restaurants in Richmond, Mekong.
So obviously you learned about food very quickly.
Very quickly, yes.
And it's Vietnamese, not hot dogs.
Well, you know, that's the common idea when my dad and my parent got here in 92. And seeing the kids everywhere. So, you know, he just suggests that, you know, you guys should do something that could be together, yeah. To be together, so you know they can see us in the same place or like somewhere that it's that we can help each other out. Because you know kids are working warehouse stuff like that. So you know it's you know night shift and morning shift, so it's tough for them to visit. So that's the idea when the restaurant come in to play. So and plus my sister-in-law, which is Liam's wife, which is my oldest brother, she was cooking at this Vietnamese place, and we thought, you know, maybe we can open up a Vietnamese restaurant. So and that's how it come about. Yeah.
So obviously the restaurant has done very well. It's become kind of an iconic, as Shelley said, iconic restaurant. The family gets to work together, which was a goal for you and your dad. Where did the beer come? Is Shelley asked me, is beer a big thing in Vietnam? And I don't know.
No.
So you have all these beers and in the restaurant. Was that just one of the American kind of things that you decided to do?
You know, I think it was just it was a risk that we take. The rest opened in 95. And the first 2 years, we kind of had, you know, Vietnamese food and wine. But it wasn't very popular with wine because every restaurant opened up had wine. Mm-hmm. So plus the cuisine that we have, it paired well with the beer that is not very popular in town. You know, everyone in town want Merlots and Chardonnay and Cabernet Sauvignon. And the wine that go well with us, like Gewürztraminer or Riesling or just lighter stuff. So that's why we took a risk and we went in a different direction. We said, okay, you know, if wine doesn't work, then let's go for beer. So that's when we started replacing some of the Belgium big format bottle for beer for wine, and we just built from there on and having free tasting and just built one clientele at a time, and now it's become one of those destination places in the U.S. So.
Literally an award-winning beer selection. I have a piece of information here that says you earned first place in craftbeer.com's Great American Beer Bar Contest 2 years in a row.
Yeah, so the first 2 years, yeah, we won it. And then the third year, they said, well, I don't have won so many, so maybe we should do it by region.
They changed the rules.
So it changed the rules because we won so many years, and then we won the regional two. Yeah, so
yeah. So then, so you did so well with beer. Now you kind of branched out, and you've opened up your own brew pub. Is that true?
Yes. We opened a brew pub about 3 years ago, and we stopped brewing beer about 2 years ago. So
and describe your beer and what's it called, and describe it for us.
The answer brew pub is the place, right now we brew mostly IPA, really fresh beer, and stout, and a little fruity beer, which is like sour beer with fresh fruit, and then we have about 50 guest beer. So with guest beer and our beer, so we kind of pick the style beer we want to brew, and we just, you know, we don't have to brew everything. So
it truly is a great American story. It all starts with Fred, and then your family taking it and making it just amazing.
Yeah, Fred even like our beer.
A lot.
So it's kind of nice that we have this relationship going on from day one. And we share a great story with Fred, and even we share a great beer nowadays. Yeah. You know, we start into Belgian beer, and Fred loved the Belgian beer. And now he get into the craft beer and love that fresh IPA. So yeah, so it's kind of great that we have that relationship going, and we share our story, we share the flavor, and we share and the success that we have. So Fred's kind of like my role model as we speak.
And then he brought you beer.
Absolutely. Okay, so absolutely.
On one last question, you came here as a child.
Yes.
How many children that are Americans now has this whole thing brought forth? Children that have been born into your family that we have now that are Richmonders, that are Americans?
Well, I myself have three kids. Mm-hmm. I have a daughter and two sons. And they all three live with my friend. It's all in the family.
It's all in the family.
Yes, and then my brother have two. My oldest brother have two. My second oldest have two. My third brother have two. Yeah. My sister have two. I'm breaking out the even numbers.
You started three.
So yes, we have lots of kids right now that's getting to the business. Yes. So.
Second generation Americans.
Yes.
We're proud to have you. Thank you so much for taking some time with us, and Fred, thank you so much for bringing these people to Richmond, Virginia, and making them Richmonders.
Our pleasure and good fortune.